Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another day of Fire on the Earth, continuing to lean into Jesus' teaching in the Gospels. Today, the church gives us, as the main reading at Mass, John chapter 16, verses 5 through 3. It continues a theme of the role of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, that he's going to send. Remember, Pope Benedict XVI said at one point, reminding us that really Jesus' entire coming, his mission, culminates in his outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He came incarnate in human flesh to become one of us, to live life here on earth, and to move toward bringing the kingdom of God. In his person, he brought the kingdom of the Father. He taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Through his passion and death, he deals with the power of the kingdom of darkness that's at work in our lives, that the kingdom of darkness had us, and we were trapped by the powers of sin and death. Jesus came to break that power and that stronghold and to bring us into the kingdom of God, and he's the king of that kingdom, and he passed through death, and he rose to new life, and he's now king and Lord, never to die again. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And he's telling the apostles here in the Gospels that he's leaving them. I mean, I'm sure they were discouraged and confused at the time, but he said, "Don't worry, I'm going to send the Advocate. And now as you go forward, you're going to experience tribulation. You're going to experience trial, opposition." We began yesterday, John 15, he touches on that. Now it's continued in today's Gospel reading. Here are the words of our Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I'm going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts." So Jesus says he's going back to the one who sent him. So Jesus understood he's a sent one. That's an apostle. You know, he's the beginning of it all, of the coming of the kingdom. But Jesus comes as one who was sent. And he told us again and again, his whole purpose is to be faithful to the one who sent him, to the Father. He said, "My food is to do the will of my Father. I do everything he commands me to do because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father." And so he communicates to you and to me that we too now as his disciples are sent ones. And as sent ones, our fundamental passion is to do his will and to obey him. St. Paul had a beautiful, simple phrase in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I think he said, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. What's the aim of an apostle? What's the target? You're pulling back the bow. Your life is that arrow that you're shooting at the target, right at the heart of it. What is it? What's your aim in life? My aim is to please the Lord in every and all situations. And that's what he sends the Holy Spirit to help us with. And of course, teaching of the church, scripture, magisterium, and the rest, all of that is made alive and made present by the power of the Holy Spirit, who guides us and gives us the mind and the heart we need to be able to make Jesus our aim. "But because I told you this," Jesus said, "grief has filled your hearts." He said the apostles didn't even want to ask where he was going because they were so filled with grief. Who could blame them? They just spent 3 years with the most amazing person to ever walk the earth. There's no one like him. And they knew it. And their hearts were grieved and they loved him. Then he goes on, he says, "But I tell you the truth, it's better for you that I go. It's better for you that I go." Thanks be to God that Jesus went home to the Father to complete his work. He says, "For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come." So here's where Pope Benedict in particular draws that clarity about the fulfillment of his entire coming and his mission is to send the Holy Spirit, so that we can be brought from death to life. We can be born again. We can be alive in the Spirit. We can become a new creation. "But if I go," he said, "I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and condemnation. Sin because they do not believe in me. Righteousness because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And condemnation because the ruler of this world has been condemned." You see, Jesus is big picture. You see the eternal perspective. We receive here the revelation of Jesus describing to us what it's all about, his coming, what we're up against, what the Father's plan is. So Number one, in this regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation, sin because they do not believe in me. This is very interesting. Father Francis Martin, one of the great biblical scholars in the church in the last century, said in his commentary on John's gospel, this is the great sin is to not believe. It's a sin to not believe in Jesus, believe that or not, believe it or not, that God has made, go back to Romans chapter 1, God has made and has revealed himself to every mind at some level, every human heart through creation, and human beings, fallen human beings, all of us, in the default mode of being trapped in the powers of sin and death, we suppress the revelation of God. We suppress the truth about God. That's the temptation of the human heart. That's why Jesus came to give us a new heart. He comes to deal with the sin problem that has deeply, deeply wounded us and wounded the human heart and blinded us. Jesus comes and he gives to God what belongs to God. He does what we were all meant to do, is to live in righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, his way of holiness or his righteousness. That's what Jesus did. His whole life was rightly ordered to God. He gave to God what belongs to God. Philippians chapter 2, the great hymn of the exaltation of Jesus, said he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus fulfilled the law. He was completely righteous. He was holy. The law is what? Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Jesus revealed to us, this is the number one reason you were made, I was made. This is the purpose of life. This is heaven's definition of success. It's the life that will be rewarded. Jesus comes to heal the human heart, to give us a heart transplant, you might say, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is uniting us to the very love and life and power that's in Jesus, to make it possible for us to fulfill this destiny, to fulfill this calling that we each have, this vocation as human beings, to love God first above all things and to put first things in the first place. Apart from the Lord's help, the human heart is chasing, its loves are disordered. It's chasing the wrong thing. We put ourselves before everything else generally. Not God's will be done, but my will be done. So Jesus is saying in his resurrection, the Holy Spirit will be poured out and the Holy Spirit will come to convict human hearts. He'll convict the whole world that the whole world is wrong about God and the whole world is in need of salvation. The whole world is in need of the forgiveness of their sins and being brought into a new relationship with God. The Holy Spirit will convict the world that everything Jesus taught and did and said is absolutely true. When he said he was the way, the truth, and the life, the way to God, the way we're called as human beings to live, it's true. When he says he was the truth about God, God's plan, about the human condition, everything he said, that's true as well. And he's the life. He's the only one that can give us the life of heaven. So he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and condemnation or judgment is another interpretation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Satan wants to rule, and he wants to rule for all eternity. It's not going to happen. But he exalts himself over and against God. He seduces human beings into self-worship, which is the pathway to ultimately be enslaved by the enemy and being trapped and ultimately serving the creature rather than the creator, ultimately serving Satan himself. And Jesus, through the cross, he condemned sin in the flesh, he condemned the kingdom of darkness, and he disarmed the principalities and powers, rulers of this world. He made a public show of them on the cross. He destroyed Satan's kingdom, and he exposed him as a liar. And his resurrection is vindication, absolute vindication, that everything he said was true, and that he was fulfilling the Father's will. And this fallen satanic creature, this fallen angel, has been subdued. And the church and the kingdom of God has been established on the earth to bring people out of that darkness, out of that slavery, into freedom, into the new life in Christ, to bear and walk in the Christ life. That's what it means to be in the kingdom. And that life is a new power that gives us a new capacity to live a new way of life, to walk with a renewed mind and heart as a son and daughter of God, knowing, as the apostles declared so many times, we beheld his glory, and he gave us power to become children of God, a new reality, and entering a new family, the family of God. The Holy Spirit is what makes that possible. And the unique and beautiful and irrepeatable, is that the right word, relationship that Jesus has with the Holy Spirit, fully poured out. No one else can do this, only Jesus. This is why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's the only one who can give the divine life. There's no religious teacher, no guru, no religious book, no set of commandments, no wisdom of the path this way or that can bring about what the human race really needs. And what we ultimately need is to have our sins forgiven and to be born again by water and the Spirit, to become children of God by the power of God. Paragraph 727 of the Catechism says, "The entire mission of the Son and the Holy Spirit in the fullness of time is contained in this, that the Son is the one anointed by the Father's Spirit since his incarnation. Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah." Paragraph 737. "The Spirit prepares men and goes out to them with his grace in order to draw them to Christ. The Spirit manifests the risen Lord to them." There's another description of the first mission of the Holy Spirit, to manifest to every human heart the lordship and majesty of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit helps them, it says, recall his word and opens their minds to the understanding of his death and resurrection. Paragraph 667 is so beautiful from the Catechism. It says, "Jesus Christ, having entered the sanctuary of heaven once and for all, intercedes constantly for us as the mediator who assures us of the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit." Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, one of the things he's doing, he's interceding, and he has authority over all flesh, over all creation. And from that place of authority, he's interceding with the Father, and together they pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh, and it's a permanent outpouring. It's like we're living under an open heaven, and this is how the church comes to be. This is how the church exists. This is how people's lives get transformed. Pope Paul VI said when the Catholic Charismatic Renewal was breaking out and people were coming alive in the Spirit and the manifestations of the presence of the Spirit were all over the place, and they still are, what he said was, this is what is needed. The church's perennial Pentecost, this awareness of receiving and living in the Holy Spirit. And of course, everybody who, a part of that movement, the whole reality was at the center of it is what Jesus himself had said he would do. He said, he's the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And one of the first responses that, I mean, I've seen it all over the world, people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, is the confident declaration and conviction that Jesus is Lord. Again, paragraph 737, "The Spirit manifests the risen Lord to them, and the transformation begins to happen. We see the Lord, and they confess, yes, he is the Lord. But also one step further than receiving and saying, he's my Lord. And then together in the church, we say, he's our Lord. And we live in him, through him, for him, through the grace of the Holy Spirit." What a wonderful gift. Let's walk in it today, friends. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.